Okay, anyway.
We begin a new set of halachos. We're back in the world of Mishpatim of the Rambam. Now we're going to do one of the longest halachos, Hilchos Malva Volove, which is 27 chapters. So we're going to be through this. Shabbos was 30, no?
Shabbos took a year.
Yeah, well, this is going to... Let's see if we can get it done by...
We won't ask any questions.
No, we're not asking questions.
Okay, but no one can ask questions in this first part where we just list through the 12 mitzvahs. That you can't ask questions because it's just, you know, it's not even enough information to even ask it. For me, you know, let the Rambam get to it. So Rambam begins, Yesh Bechlolan Yud Beis Mitzvahs. There's 12 mitzvahs we're going to learn. Arba mitzvahs asay, 4 positive mitzvahs. Shmona mitzvahs los asay, 8 negatives. V'zeh Pratan, these are the details. Number one, it's a mitzvah, a positive mitzvah. Lahalvos la'ani umach. To lend money to a poor and downtrodden person. Two, shlo yigos also. You cannot oppress him when you want money from him. Okay, you cannot oppress him. And...
Yeah.
No, in other words, you're asking for the money back, and this is when you know he doesn't have the money to pay it. You're bugging him to pay. He says, why don't you go to your brother and borrow some money from your brother, or this and that. So you can't oppress him when you know he does not have money. Now, positive mitzvah, interesting, is logos es a goy, but you should oppress a goy for payment, because that's the way the non-Jewish world works. If a non-Jew lends money to a non-Jew, does he say, oh, I'm not going to bother you, take your time? He says, hey, it's time to pay up. So we treat non-Jews the way non-Jews treat each other. It's interesting, the Rambam is saying this is a positive mitzvah. Ramban, on the other hand, disagrees with the Rambam and says this is not a positive mitzvah. It's just you may, but it's not a positive mitzvah.
I think the first one was to a Jewish destitute person.
Oh, no, I'm already on number 3.
No,
it's too late.
It's because we're now talking about Gentiles. Yes, I just wondered about... You've lent to Gentiles.
I don't understand.
The first mitzvah was talking about Jew to Jew.
The first two were talking about Jews.
Yeah,
now the third one is with a goy.
Yes, that's
number
Dalet,
Shalo Yamashkeim Balchov Bisroa. You don't take a collateral against a creditor forcefully against his will, which will be explained. Hey, Lahachsra Mashkeim Balchov Shutzarchlo. But on the other hand, you have to return the collateral to an owner when he needs it. As we'll see, if you took a daytime garment, you have to return it. You could take it at night, but give it back in the day. You took a nighttime garment, you could take it in the day, but give it back at night. So you got to return it at the right time. Vav. Shalo ya'acher ha'mashka mi'bolav ha'ani ve'eshu tzorch. You shouldn't delay giving the collateral back to the owner who's poor when he needs it. Seven, shlo yachbo al money. You shouldn't take a collateral from a widow. Ches, shlo yachbo kelim shosim ochel nefesh. You cannot take a collateral utensils that is necessary to make food for the fellow. Tesh, lo yiten amal v'rivis. You don't lend money with interest. So the malva, the lender, doesn't give interest. That's one aveira. And you shlo yilva lo v'rivis, and that the borrower does not borrow with interest. So each one is a separate lav. Yud Aleph, Shalo Yisasek Odom Bein Malva Velo Riz. You should not be the intermediary between the borrower and the lender so that they can do the transaction with interest, such as Shalo Yaid Bein Nehem. You shouldn't testify between them or shouldn't make it happen. Shalo Yichtov, be the witness. Shalo Yichtov Shtar, you shouldn't write the document. Shalo Yarv shouldn't be a guarantor on it. So those are all methods that assist the process that's going on there. And finally, it says, lahalvos minagoy, lilvos minagoy, ulahalvos obris. You can lend to a goy and lend, charge him interest. It's a mitzvah to charge him interest. And again, the Ramban argues on this as well and says, you can, but it's not a mitzvah to charge him interest. These are the 12 mitzvahs, Uber mitzvahs of Brachim. Now we're going to detail the mitzvahs in the following Brachim.
Are we done?
No? Okay, Aleph. So first is going to be very genteel halachas, very simple.
Not Gentile.
A very easy halachas, an easy chapter. We break you in very easy over here, right? Because obviously we're going to get to ribbis and very complicated stuff. So at least the first night you'll have fond memories of this chapter.
Wow.
Of this thing. Aleph. Mitzvah saseh lahalvos laniyasho. It's a positive mitzvah to lend money to poor Jewish people. And the commentators say, we will see later on the Rambam, it becomes evident, it's even a mitzvah to lend to a rich person in a time where his cash flow is short, his billions are tied up in long-range term deposits and whatever. So the truth of the matter is, he doesn't have any cash on hand. The rich fellow himself feels poor if he can't have any, you know, liquid cash to get what he wants. It's interesting. The halacha, the Gemara and the halacha tells us that gemilas chesed is better than charity because gemilas chesed can be done to poor people and to rich people. And even though the pasuk says you lend to the poor man, Torah says poor man. How do you know the rich man too? Because it says of your nation. So why does it say the poor man? Because Hashem will punish you more if you don't lend to a poor man than to a rich man. But that doesn't necessarily mean a poor man. Anyone who needs the loan, for that matter, he would be considered poor for this issue. And what's the source for the Torah of this? Shenemar, it says, "In kesef talveh es ami es animach." When you lend money to people of my nation, the poor man amongst you. Now, even though the pasuk says im usually means if means, well, you know, if you want to, if you don't want to, you don't have to. So let's not make that mistake. Yachol Rishus, I might think it's an optional thing and I don't have to lend money to a poor man, Talmud Lomer, but later in Sefer Dvarim, it says, Haveit Tavitenu, you shall surely lend him money. That's not if you want to or not. You should double express, you shall surely lend him money. Umitzvah zo, lending money, gedola minat stock, it's a greater mitzvah than giving straight out charity, el ha'ani ashol, to the poor man who asks you, and what would be the reason for that? I'm just going to say, Shazik far nitzrich lishol. The poor man already needs to ask. He's already going through shame. He's already in a shamed position. But this fellow wants to borrow. Adain lo higia lamidazo. I've not reached this level of having to go through the shameful process of taking from someone else. So therefore, it's a greater mitzvah to just lend him the money because at least he has the self-esteem. Say, it's just a loan. I'm going to pay back. You didn't really give me anything. And Torah is very particular. Someone who refuses to lend money to a poor man. Shenemar, as it says, if your eye will be bad towards your destitute brother, and then Rambam doesn't give you the rest of the pasuk. The rest of the pasuk is the critical part. The rest of the pasuk says, and if you don't give him any, that God will call you, you have done a sin. And it's not that often where the Torah says, if you don't do a nice thing, you're a sinner. So you see, the Torah is very particular that you should lend him the money. Obviously, if you know that person is just, you know, wanting to take the money as a record of not returning money, then it's not a question of lending him, you see. Even though the guy is saying, will you lend me the money, but he has a history of not paying back the last 1,000 people he's borrowed money from, then it's not a question of lending money, it's a question of giving money. And giving money already, there's different halachas about that, which is beyond the scope of this section here.
But would that reduce the risk for him?
Well, you know, sort of. Sort of, you know.
It reduces the mitzvah, because then you're giving rather than loaning.
Right. So if you want to play along, if you want to give him money, you can say, okay, I'll lend you the money. And he keeps his self-esteem. Yeah. But you should just know, you're giving it, you're never going to see it again. Okay, so that's number one, the mitzvah of lending money. Okay, now you've lent the money and you'd like to collect. Base, kol hanogeis ha'ani, someone who oppresses the poor man. But here's the critical point. I mean, there's nothing wrong with asking a guy and say, can you pay me back? That's not oppressing him. Guy said, lend me for 30 days. Okay, third is they say, could I have the money back? I wouldn't call that oppressing the fellow.
No.
However, what does oppressing mean? Here's the critical point. V'yodeya she'ein lo ma yashlo. He knows the man doesn't have the money to pay him. Now, if you don't know, that's why you got to ask, because I don't have the money to pay. Okay, but you know the man has not got any money. Now, and you're demanding it to get paid. So now you're putting him in a position where he has to say, I can't pay you. So over below, so I say you've transgressed a negative commandment. Shemers, it says, Osiya lo kenosha, you shall not be an oppressor. Okay? So that's only if you know he does not have the money.
But when is becoming like turning into a default? You know, that, you know.
Again, if you know he does not have the money, okay, he has nothing. We'll see. There's going to be halacha short telling us, you know, maybe he could sell some assets. The guy is totally destitute. Then what are you going to ask? What are you going to do? So you keep pressing him and you say, you know, you have a brother. Why don't you go to your brother and borrow the money from him to pay back? That's pressing him. That's oppressing him. So you can't, in other words, what are you gaining? The money ain't coming back. Now, if you know the guy's got money, he's holding off on you. That's a whole different story. That guy's not being honest. There's no problem. But if the guy has no money to pay back, so what are you asking for? It only shames him further. So what's the point? It's not that you've written off the debt, but you cannot make the person feel bad. Now, umitzvah saseh, but it's a positive mitzvah. Again, the Ramban's going to argue in this. Lin gos es ha-goy, to oppress the goy which lent you money. Ula hatzerlo, and to disturb him, that I want you to pay back. And don't give him any more time to pay back, and be like the goyish world is to the goyish world. That's what the normal way a secular non-Jewish person would ask to get paid back from another non-Jewish person.
You do to them too. So we shouldn't be like
and why is it a mitzvah? I'll explain to you why it's a mitzvah. Because the goy has to see that you treat a Jew better. Because these halachas, a goy has to know that Jews are brothers. And their family. And they treat each other different.
So what was the thing about Or LeGoyim? No, we don't do that.
That is a light unto nations. Look.
That we're going to treat you better than you treat yourselves.
No, we treat you the way you want to, you do treat people. We treat you the same way. Amongst the Jewish people, we all have an understanding. We treat Jews better on all ends. Right? So, you know, maybe you want to become part of the Jewish faith. That's up to you. Amongst the Jews, everyone it treats people very nicely. In the non-Jewish world, okay, now we're in your boardroom, so we behave to you the same way you behave to me. This is your non-Jewish rules, so we play by your non-Jewish rules in your non-Jewish world. But in the Jewish world, we treat each other like brothers, and they have to see that. That's they have to see how Jews take care of each other. And the Goyko Play says, well, why don't you guys start changing your laws and treat all non-Jews as brothers, and then we'll be happy to buy into that process. So the differences should be very glaring. You know, it's not like goyim are nice to goyim and are not nice to Jews. They're just not nice to anybody. So the Jew's just blending into the crowd. The goy says, "How come you do this to me and not to them?" Because he's my brother.
And when Jews were the major money lenders in the Middle Ages, and they were the it's not as if
and that we're performing a mitzvah of charging interest, just like all goyim were money. First of all, you know, I don't know if Jews were major money lenders, as opposed to non-Jews were also money lenders. But and Jews, of course, could not own land, could not go to university, could not make a living. So what do you want Jews to do? The only way you can make a living is by lending money to people. And I'm sure there are plenty of non-Jews who lend money on interest. The only reason, but if Jews do it, of course.
I'm not talking about the interest, I'm talking about the oppressing.
So, oppressing means you demand payment. That's all. No different than, and much better than the way Italians would collect money from people. Okay? From Sicily. Right? If you don't pay the money back, you're dead. You find yourself at the bottom of a river. Jews don't kill people who don't pay money back, but we oppress them that they should pay it. If they have the money, or even if they don't have the money, but still, you got to pay me back. This is the way. They have to see there's a difference. Family is different.
Why are we lending to non-Jews?
For parnasa.
Oh, so this is in business.
Well, what else would you be lending for?
No, well, to a Jew, we're lending out of kindness. Is it a business thing, or is it?
And it could be business too. It's not necessarily.
Right, you're not charging interest.
Right. Okay, so for the goy, it's a business thing.
Yeah.
Or even if it's a poor goy, wants money, it's still business. You're charging interest.
Money for lending to Jews?
What?
How are you going to make a living?
Let's understand. When a Jew lends money to a Jew, you're performing a mitzvah.
Right.
You're not supposed to make money on mitzvahs. When you lend money to a goy, you're not doing a mitzvah. It's no mitzvah to lend a goy. Ramadan lists that as a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to press him when you lend him to pay him back. And it's a mitzvah to charge him interest.
Rothschild.
Rothschild made money in banks and he gave to them. I don't understand. What's the problem? It's pretty straightforward here. Okay, Gimel.
I am enjoying it.
Osir la adam la haros atzmo levalchovo bisman shkei shein lo. A person shouldn't make himself seen to the guy who owes him money in a time when he knows that he doesn't have any money or any assets to pay him back. Let's say he asked him and said, I'm sorry, I got money. So, okay, so now I can't oppress him anymore. Oh, but I'm going to make sure he sees me every day. So he's going to feel terrible. But I didn't say anything.
Not a word.
No, you can't do that. A few lava, even just to pass in front of him. Why not? So Yafchido, you can't scare him. Or Yachlima, or shame him. Even though you don't make him claim anymore. I mean, Shachman goes without saying him. It's fine if you claim. That's for sure not allowed. Ukeshem she'osur lezelit boa. Just like you can't claim. Now the reverse is also true. It's a two-way street. So to the borrower cannot suppress money of his friend if he has the money to pay him back. And to say to him, the good old line, Lech Vashov, leave and come back. Come back tomorrow and I'll give you
the money. Mail.
You know, but when you've got it in your house, that's when he has it. Shenemer, it says in Mishle, Al Tom Lerech, Lech Vashov. Don't tell your friend, go and come back. Here's an important one again. A borrower should not take money as a loan to spend it unnecessarily and to squander it, and you know you're going to lose it. Okay, that means you're causing the guy to lose money. So the creditor will have nowhere to collect from. Even though the guy who lends you is very wealthy. In other words, you don't borrow knowing that you are either totally incapable of paying for it, or yet you borrow them. Now, borrowing, for example, listen, I'm having trouble with my business. I'm almost coming. I need a loan of $100,000 so I can refinance and set my business up and give it my best effort. And it could be his best effort, and he fails anyway.
Okay.
Well, that's the risk you take in
a
loan.
But that's a big mitzvah.
He tried. The guy says, listen, lend me $100,000.
Yeah,
and then he decides to take a trip around the world for 3 months.
Say,
he comes back. How's the loan doing? Oh, it was a great trip. Oops, I mean, I'm working on it. You know, you don't take the money to waste it when you know, or to know, knowingly you will not be able to pay it back. You know, you're borrowing it with that. Now, of course, certain people have psychological disorders that they totally think that they're going to pay it back, even though the last 50 people they borrowed from, they haven't paid back a nickel.
It's called living in denial.
But they honestly think they're going to pay back when they and everyone knows that they're not going to pay them back. So the guy is transgressing. It's a terrible thing. Look at this. And now, Va'ozen, whoever does this, Russia who? He's a Russia. Shenemar, it says in Psalms, Lova Russia Lashem, a wicked borrower is one who does not pay back. Again, it's not the guy who can't pay back, who wanted to pay back, who tried to pay back, but a guy who's just blowing the money out. The Tzivu Chachame and the rabbis also told us, have somebody else's money be as precious as your own money, and therefore you don't spend just because it's somebody else's money, you don't waste it like that.
Is it equivalent to theft at that point?
Well, it's not exactly theft because you didn't steal it.
But I wouldn't want to be called a Russian.
You said I'm borrowing it. So you've done an aver. It's a lav. There's a lav to steal and there's a lav to... The difference would be if you steal another money to pay, it could be sold as an eved ivri. If you borrow, I don't know if you can sell him as an eved ivri. So at least he benefits from that. But again, if you're the one lending, you're entitled to make some conditions, such as what's the collateral.
Yeah.
You're entitled to ask for collateral, and if he doesn't have it, you don't have to lend him a lot.
That's right. So it's you a widow, you know, we
said. Right? Okay. Dalit. Now, kishayit bahamal vehava. So when the lender now is claiming his money, and as he's taking him to court. In other words, there's money to be, there's assets to be used, and the guy's not willing
assets to
sell,
be had.
To be had. The guy's not willing to sell his assets. You know, it's, again, oppression means the guy's got nothing. So then there's, what do you want from the guy? But here, the guy's got a house, right? And the guy owes you money. Well, listen, he could refinance his mortgage and pay you off, you know, and just borrow a little bit more from the bank. I mean, that kind of stuff, you can't. So you're allowed to take it to court, and the court's going to assess how the payment plan will work. There's no aver in that, because there is assets to pay him back. So if you're doing this, af al pi shuhu usher, even though the lender is very wealthy, the halove dochuk, and the borrower is very tight, strapped for cash. Vitorid b'mazonos, and it's very difficult for him to sustain himself. So we might think what's going on over, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mishnah Sanhedrin. You know, you might think, well, yeah, he's a poor man, and the guy, and the borrower is, the lender's rich, and the judge will say, listen, I'm rich, the lender's rich, the guy's poor. So you know what? The judge will say, I'll let the poor guy win in court. That's the classical laws of courts. We say, you can't do that. Okay? Those are not allowed. And look how the language of the Rambam is. Ein merachamim badin. You don't have mercy on the borrower when we're in the courts. No mercy. Now this is when the guy's got assets to pay. Remember. Elagovin lochova, we collect the debt ad pruta achrona till the last penny. Mikol metal shiyaso, from any of the movable objects that he has. Okay? So the guy owes me $1,000. We're gonna go into his house and we're gonna, best gonna say, bring everything. Rambam's gonna clear, let's say this more clearly in the next couple of hours. You bring all this stuff out and best starts assessing what they're gonna take. So now, an interesting vort, what the Rambam is saying is, the guy can pay you from his movable objects. He does not have to pay you cash. Even though he borrowed cash from you. Now the Rif, I believe, argues on this point. But the Rambam says he can pay back with whatever he wants to pay back. That's what Rambam says. You collect from the metaltalin, the movable objects that he has. Vimlo he speaku metaltalin, if the movable object's not enough to cover the debt, govan lo mina karka, we can collect the land that he has. Although land isn't the best thing to take because a lot of land could have liens on it. And that could be a problem in the long term. But the Rambam clearly is putting metalklin and money on the same level. Let's say the guy has money and he has movable objects. The guy, the borrower could say, I'm going to give you my movable objects since you're bothered to sell it and get the money. And you don't have, you cannot extract the cash from him. Mm-hmm. It's up to him. The Rif in Baba Basra says, no, money comes before that. So too says the Rashbam. Similarly, and the Rush. So it's 3-1 against the Rambam. So I would imagine.
That's a Shulchan Aruch rule.
I don't know, but I guess if you look in Shulchan Aruch, he would paskin on 3-1s like that.
Sometimes he still goes with the Rambam.
You know, right? I'm saying if it's the Rush. Well, but anyways, there's a lot. There's a lot against the Rambam on this point. But anyway, fine. Now also, so collect from the land. Achar shemachrimim, after he makes a declaration of cherem, it's a type of a curse. Amishiyeshul metaltlin, omishiyedul metaltlin yovim bezin. Whereas the guy says, you know, okay, I want to collect, give me your move options. I ain't got any. Okay. Yeah, land, yeah, okay. Now I'm going to collect land, but frankly, I'm making an oath, I'm making a declaration. That cursed is a man who makes me take land when he really has movable objects and you're withholding. If you're withholding from me, a curse should come upon you. Okay? And that's, you know, just to let him know that that's not really fair because land is less desirable to take in terms of a payment. So we collect from any land that he has. So even though it is leaned against by the ksuba of the guy's wife. So that, in other words, when he was married to the woman, that piece of property is ready to lean to her. So, you know, you're gonna take the land, but what if the guy dies or divorces her? Then it's gonna go back. We'll see. All about chovish kemer. Let's say somebody lent money, at, let's say earlier, although the collection, another guy lent him money, but the collection time is later than the second guy who borrowed money with an earlier collection. Still, Garvin will say, you still will collect this land right away, and the creditor or the wife who wants the ksuva one day can't hold it back. But what if the miyava harishon, the yitrof, what if the first lender now, later, wants his land? He gets the land. Yitrof, he chops it out, and then the debt to the second guy is like reinstituted.
So
as
the
debt.
With the ksuva. Now,
yeah, same thing with the ksuva. So it's not like, well, I paid you off. What do you want from me? Wait a minute. You paid me leaned land.
Yeah.
The leaned land's gone to the other guy. So now we're back to square one. You still have to pay me back.
If you get the leaned land, the land is no lien. It's free and clear. Do you keep it forever, like Yovel? Like, is that yours forever and ever?
That's a good point. I would imagine by Yovel, we'd have to go back. No, we'd have to know what the value of the land is.
Yeah.
When you're collecting land, how do we collect the land? What's the land worth? Well, what is the land worth? Well, how many years is it till Yovel?
Right, yeah, it's the Yovel thing.
So it would work the same way. It would work the same way. No, I think so. Tana Lova! Here's an interesting one. Let's say you see some, they say, oh, so you say you haven't got movable objects, eh? I could look right through the window and I see a television and a computer and this and that.
What
are you telling me that you don't have movable objects? So what if he says like this? Turn all over. The bar says, listen, Shematala, oh those, Shemadadi? Oh, they're not mine. Oh, Ella Picada, I'm watching it for somebody, Biyadi. Yeah. Oh, Skorna Shulin, or I'm renting it from Netflix. Or I'm borrowing it from a friend. They're not mine. So now the question is, so what do we do? Do we say, well, we can't collect it because he says about somebody else? Ain't shaman law. We don't listen to the guy. Ooh. Liar, liar, pants on fire. There's a chazaka. There is a chazaka that anything that is in somebody's domain, we assume it's his until proven otherwise.
Whoa.
Because normally, walking to most people's homes, the things in their homes are theirs. For someone to already say it's somebody else's. So if you want to get away with that excuse, mister, oh, Yavi, right? You got to bring a proof. You witness. Say that as well, you bring witnesses. Oh, Yigma Mehem Bachova, or if you don't do that, the guy can collect no matter how much you're screaming and yelling.
No oath.
And saying it's not, what?
You can't take an oath. You have to.
Yeah, you just give it. That's it. An oath will help you. Prove it. If you borrowed it from somebody, bring us the guy who will come in court and will testify that I lent him the thing. But if you can't do that, we don't trust you at all. All right, let's try one more. Now, the next number of halachas are telling you what type of movable objects can you not collect. Not every type of movable object can you collect. Ein balchov gova lo miksus ishto ubanav shalova v'lo mikbanim tzvuim shesavim lishmam. Okay, that's a long sentence. So first of all, the creditor cannot collect from garments of the borrowers that belong to the borrower's wife or kids. And he can't even take clothing that the man died, that designated for his wife and kids, even though he didn't give it to them yet. Alfi Shadayin lo love shosam. Can't do that because those types of thing, once he already died it, it's like he already gave it to them and it's like already in their domain. Even though he didn't hand it over to them, he had it in mind and he spent the money, so it's like it's theirs already. He can't take brand new shoes. The guy went to Yorkdale and brought brand new shoes for his wife.
Browns.
Didn't give it to her yet. Can't collect those. They belong to the wife and kids because as soon as he bought, he had a mind for them and he was kind of it for them.
Wow.
But remember, when do we say this? Not everything. Weekday clothes, we say this because weekday clothes are not considered investments. Well, weekday Shabbos, he bought his wife Shabbos clothes. He didn't give it to them yet. Or Vahamoed or Yontif. Goyvazol, you can collect it at Baal Korcha against his will. Because since they're very expensive clothes and they're not used every day, when the man gave it to his wife, he never gave it as a full gift. Because he knows maybe one day I'll sell it because it's an expensive thing and it's an asset that I'm not willing to part with my wife.
Your wife would be okay.
Bein Sarachlon goes without saying, what about rings and golden utensils or kesef, silver utensils, where clearly it could be, maybe the guy's like this, oh dear, I love you, here's a diamond ring. And meanwhile, he's been listening to the advertiser, says, you know, your diamonds go up in value. 5 years from now, we'll give you, 50% more. So the guy figures, listen, it's an investment, and my wife thinks I'm a great guy, so it's an amazing thing, but I don't really want my wife to have it. I really want it as future investment potential. So guess what? That could be collected from the fellow, Shahakol, Labal, Chova, all those things can go to his creditor.